Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Learn to Love podcast, your guide to everything love, sex, intimacy, and relationships. Each week, your host, Zach Beach, interviews new experts on love, including couples therapists, relationship coaches, sex educators, and best-selling authors. Learn the best tips and cutting-edge wisdom to better love yourself, others, and the world. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, beautiful souls. I'm so positively delighted that you could join us on the Learn to Love podcast. I am your host, Zach Beach, and I'm excited to introduce our guest for today's episode, Sherianna Boyle. Sherianna Boyle is an international emotional detox coach and the author of over 9 books, including Emotional Detox Now. She has been featured in over 90 articles and is a presenter for renowned organizations such as PESI, Behavioral and Mental Health Education, Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, 1440 Multiversity, and more. She is an adjunct psychology professor and the founder of Emotional Detox Coaching. Sherianna came onto the show to talk about the energy of love. Based on teachings in her most recent book, Energy in Action, The Power of Emotions and Intuition to Cultivate Peace and Freedom. So without further ado, let's begin. Hello, Sherianna. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here.
Nice. And where are you calling in from?
Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Oh, is it winter yet?
Yeah, slightly. It's not too bad.
Well, I want to really thank you so much for coming on. It was so nice to find out about your work that you're doing in the world. You published 8 books already. And I know we want to talk about your most, how many? 10?
10. Yeah,
oh, it was wow. 10. I need to do so my it's more like better research.
It's like children. Don't leave the other few out, right?
And, you know, for people unfamiliar with your work, how might you just summarize what it is that you do?
Well, what I'm most known for is my work with emotional detox. And I work with people and help them learn how to process their emotions. And I think I'm mostly known as an author and as a coach.
That's so interesting because I'm in this trauma-informed yoga training right now. And we're just talking about what it means to be in the body. And often what comes up is people are like, yeah, when I feel into this area of my body or I maybe loosen tension around this area of my body, all these emotions come up. And one of my students was like, is that normal? Like, yes. Or sometimes we say the body keeps the score or the issues are in the tissues. And it's true. We do have so much. We carry so much in our bodies.
I saw that you're a yoga teacher. I'm a yoga teacher as well. So yeah. I've been teaching for well over 20 years now. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
I know. And it's amazing when people come up to you kind of after class and they do tell you like what came up, you know, and it seems so simple, like, oh, we're just going to stretch and breathe and relax for a little bit. But within the journey of the body, we discover so much about ourselves and the world.
Yeah, it is. It is quite remarkable. I love that when people let you know how that was for them and how it might have helped them. I just got back to teaching in person. I'm online.
Oh, okay.
I've since COVID, I went online and I've been online and I just picked up one physical class. So it was really nice to be able to interact with people in person.
Yeah, I remember talking with the fellow yoga teacher. It was early on in the pandemic and we were just talking about how hard it is to kind of teach online. And she was like, we're people. And I was like, we are people. I love being around people. and just the energy of being in a room and practicing together is just so different than conversing through a screen. That being said, being on a screen and connecting via the internet, we are able to work with whoever we want in the world, which is also nice. There's no physical geographical limits.
Yeah, definitely. Like
you coming out in this podcast all the way in Cape Cod.
I know. It is quite remarkable. Yeah, there's certainly advantages. I always feel like I still teach yoga online. I always feel like I'm just talking to the screen. Sharing, I'm just going on and on and on. I just keep talking. But then at the end, I'm reminded, oh yeah, there's people on the other end there.
Yeah, like when I tell jokes and at least somebody maybe smiles on the screen. I'm like, okay, yeah. Somebody's out there. I'm not just talking to the ether over here. So before we get into your latest book, Energy in Action, I'd love to ask you a little bit about some of your other works. One is called Choosing Love. So apropos.
And look at, I brought it because I knew.
Very nice.
I said to myself, all right, you got to come out of the closet, honey. Choosing Love. Yeah.
And in the book, you write, love is a universal energy that unites us all. It is the spirit of acceptance, the wisdom of letting go, the art of receiving understanding, and the beholder of grace. Getting in touch with this universal love will set you free from both your deepest fears and your everyday stresses. How do you access this type of love? It's as easy as making a choice. I'd love to hear more about that passage.
Yeah. So choosing love is all about helping identify our belief systems around love. And what that book is doing is introducing not necessarily new meaning, but reinforcing what love really is. Because we have so much conditioning around love, like you either have it or you don't kind of thing, that you have to have a certain amount of money or reach a certain point in your life or to be able to even receive love. And so that book is sort of debunks a lot of that and then instead gets people to focus on love as the universal energy. And it's interesting because, Zach, I wrote that book in, I think it was 2015. It's still timeless. That, of course, love is, you know, can timeless. Any books about love out there? Later on in Emotional Detox for Anxiety, that a little light bulb went off about love. And in that book, I really talk about, and you'll appreciate this, I say love is the only emotion. Everything else is a reaction. Love is the only emotion. And that's kind of when you read that back to me, what's in Choosing Love, that's comes up to mind for me, because when you describe it as that universal love, intelligence, it's all encompassing. That's that non-reactive state. So I'll say it again. There's only one emotion, love. Everything else is a reaction. So that means guilt is a reaction, fear is a reaction, anger is a reaction. Now we're used to calling those emotions and we can describe them as emotions. We can express ourselves through emotions such as I feel angry or ashamed or embarrassed. And that certainly you'll get a little bit of energy movement there. But once you really move the energy, process the emotions, then it transforms into something new. And then with that, all those labels and stories and narratives start to dissolve. And then what you have is love. And then you have the intelligence running through your body. And it is sort of like a spiritual medicine, if you will. And it's extremely protective. It has a resilience. It's very purifying.
I love that. I love how you started out by saying that love is timeless and that it's this non-reactive state, because I do think about and have also trouble verbalizing this basic idea that love is like our true nature. And people are like, what does that mean, true nature? It means like beyond all the stuff, when you remove everything else, the fundamental essence of our being is love. And when we're not reacting to the things in our life and just resting in that trait, then we're able to fully experience it. And it's really interesting, your phrase, love is the only emotion, because I feel like to a lot of people, they flip that around and say, love is only an emotion. Like that tends to be how people treat this idea of love, that it's a singular emotion that we occasionally experience with other people in our lives. And it's almost reduced to this very simple passing ephemeral experience. So what do you say to someone who does think that myth that love is only fleeting and passing emotion?
Well, I think there's resistance there. When someone says it's temporary, I mean, basically they're saying it's finite and there's temporary and there's endpoints there. And love is not, it's an infinite energy. So when I hear someone with a little, again, back to the limiting beliefs, and that's what that book, Choosing Love, dismantles, those are limiting beliefs, those are conditioning, then we've got some resistance to experiencing love, and we've got some judgment, and we've got some preconceived notions, and we have some protection going on, and that makes perfect sense. And so what I say is those are reactions. We all have them. And once you really learn how to process your emotions fully and you make it a daily practice, then really what you get to experience is love. And you do that enough times that it's like anything with practice, you'll start to get to know the energy. So quit looking at it as a thing or how it's going to show up in your life or where it is. We have all these fantasies around that. It's going to be tall, dark, and handsome. Be carrying a bouquet of flowers. And we certainly get glimpses of it. You know, we get glimpses of moments of where we notice that unconditional, pure love, where there's, where you can, perhaps you see it around you. Maybe you know people that have that kind of love for one another, that unconditional love, pure energy. But I think I just peer a little bit of resistance, not a big deal. I would take some time to process that. So those are just some beliefs. So when I tell myself that love comes and goes, it makes me feel. And then take a breath on that. Don't even answer it with your head. So when I tell myself that love is, or that some people have it and other people don't, I tell myself that story, it makes me feel. And then breathe in and breathe out. And I guarantee what you're going to find is it doesn't make you feel. It makes you numb. It's a numbing. It's a coping mechanism, a defense mechanism. There's no feeling at all when you say that. So then there lies the resistance and the protection. So when I say love's a choice, it's a choice to feel. Now, is it always going to feel like you're dancing in the streets and having the time of your life? No. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be twists and turns. There's going to be moments of lots of ranges of emotions. Definitely, that's love. But love is resilient.
Yeah, I love how you did say that we have to quit looking at love as a thing. And I do feel like that's how most people almost just operate. They think they have to go out and find it, right? Then like your main task to experience love is, you know, to open up the apps and swipe as many times and go on as many dates. And if you're lucky and if you find the right person and if you do the right, you say the right thing too, you don't want to screw it up. Those first few dates or whatever, and then you say the right thing, then love will come into your life rather than think of it almost as something that I'm hearing from you that we can tap into, right? Like there's like a faucet right next to us. We just got to turn it on.
Well, the thing is, you know, I have to, full confession here, that you'll find this interesting, Zach. So previous to Choosing Love, I was writing a lot about anxiety, and mainly because I was in the field helping people with anxiety for so long and really thought, okay, this is my niche. I work with people with anxiety. And so naturally I thought, okay, if I'm going to write a book, I'm going to write what I know. Working with anxiety was all mindful tools. So I wrote a couple parenting books on anxiety, helping children. And then I wrote The Four Gifts of Anxiety. And I just couldn't talk about it anymore. I was like, I can't talk about anxiety. I don't want to focus on it anymore. I really want to focus on love because that's really what we're aiming for. If I'm not anxious, which means I'm always focused on the future, I'm worried about the future. I mean, anxiety is about chronic worrying. If I focus on love, then I'm in a state of presence. It's pretty hard to be futuristic focused when you're in the vibration or feeling the intelligence of love. So if you are looking forward, and I get it, you're looking forward to meeting someone, that makes perfect sense. That's love. I mean, that's the way love speaks. I look forward to connecting. I look forward to being with my person. I look forward to having fun. That's you. That's love talking. It's already in you.
It's so interesting because when you earlier were mentioning that question prompt, when I tell myself that love comes and goes, it makes me feel.
Yeah.
And I was sort of imagining, like, let's say I'm lonely. I live alone. Maybe I even work at home alone. And I feel nothing but, say, like, disconnection. And I do feel like even today in society, we're in a loneliness epidemic. There's a lot of really lonely people out there who don't feel a sense of love in their life, particularly because I do associate having to be in a relationship to feel that love. And you mentioned numbing, which I can totally see. I feel numb, like I feel nothing. But one thing I kind of imagined was like a feeling of shame that because I'm, say, not in a loving relationship, there must be something wrong with me. I must be unlovable and I must be doing something wrong because I'm, say, not in the, you know, the fairy tale Disney idea of a romantic loving relationship that I say is the ultimate, that I see as the ultimate goal of life. So I am curious about, yeah, when we are in that state of loneliness and disconnection, I can almost equate that, like, how do I know I'm resting in presence? And how do I know I'm just numb or even just like getting high, you know, like I'm just gonna maybe smoke some weed or something. And then I can just relax in this moment without any anxiety at all.
People are definitely alone more. And there's some habits that have happened in terms of spending time. You know, sometimes people are face to face and they're on their phones, Zach.
It's true.
They're right next to each other. And so I think some of it is that there's some shutting down. There's some habits that people have developed. They're not really sure how to be present. It's uncomfortable to be present. You know, I teach psychology very, very part-time and an adjunct psychology professor. And I had the students the other day, you'll appreciate this. I had them sit in silence for 2 minutes, but here was the difference, Zach. I had us all sit in a circle in silence. So normally they're in rows and desks. And so I'm asking them to change their positioning, their environment, and actually sit in a circle of being silent together. It was very difficult for some people and very uncomfortable. And we talked about it after. How was that? And some people, it's just so different because they're used to filling every damn second with a device of some sort or a habit, whether it's a cigarette, whether it's marijuana. I don't know. I mean, I have somebody I'm working with now who's trying to get off marijuana, and it's very, very interesting because they're having a hard time because every time they get anxious, that's what they're used to doing. So you show up as you show up. I don't tell people what to do. I don't tell them to stop taking marijuana or whatever. That's not my job. But what I can do is help people learn how to process what they feel. And if they're in these states of depression, we have to be careful because yes, there's a loneliness epidemic, especially in our elderly population and with our teenagers. I mean, there's a lot of screens behind closed doors. And I think some of it is depression because again, a lot of these people might have people around and yet there's just some kind of disconnect happening.
Well, it's so interesting kind of tying this idea of love being a state of presence into this perceived obstacle of anxiety, because I'm imagining a couple situations. One, okay, I hear that love puts us in the state of presence. So I'm just going to rest and be with my breath and see if I can tap into this true nature I have of love. 5 seconds go by. I should check my email. 5 more seconds go by. Like I should do this. Suddenly this bubbling of anxiety very much seems to get in the way of just being able to relax in the present moment. And the other situation that I'm imagining where anxiety gets in the way is, let's say I am that lonely person at home. There might be a reason for that. There might be a reason I'm avoiding social in the moment relationships, because that's the thing about even like our online world is we can curate it. While going on a date or even just deepening intimacy with somebody can bring up a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry. Like, what if I screw this up? What if they see my shameful parts of me and then I get rejected? And both of those situations, I do feel like anxiety does seem like an obstacle to deepening love.
Absolutely. I think the pandemic did a number on people. I think social anxiety has really, from what I've seen in my work, gone through the roof, panic disorders, things like that. I'm seeing a lot more, and not just more of it, but the intensity of it has increased, coupled with finances. You know, I think that's a huge thing, especially because I'm at the college level, and I see that a lot happening. But even with clients that I see, just this feeling, this intensity around that. So it's hard for them to sink into this love stuff. They feel like love is avoidance. That if I get too lovey-dovey, right? And that's another belief, right? That love is sort of like this, you have to be some kind of marshmallow. You're not strong if you're loving everything. So those are just more belief systems that we want to start to clear. And that's really what I talk about and what I lean into with emotional detox work and the cleanse system I created, which is also in my newest book, Energy in Action. And so really helping people, okay, let's start to clear some of these belief systems. These are reactions. They're not emotions. Let's get that clear first. That even lonely, why can't we treat that as a reaction? I'm lonely. Okay. Again, how much feeling do you get from that, Zach? When someone says that, I'm lonely. I don't have any friends, Zach. Nobody likes me. Is there feeling to that? No. It's just more numbing. And the more I say it, the more I numb. And then the less I have to show up. And if I do that enough, I might get myself in a hole. And then I need help climbing out of that hole because it can be a lot, especially if you've got these outside intrusions, such as social media and things like that, as your source of entertainment. The good thing about the pandemic is it got people outside in nature. So there were some positives to that for sure.
Yeah, I love your phrase earlier that we want to sink into the love stuff, or that your students are hesitant to sink into the love stuff, because it's just a lovely phrase. You know, we usually say like, I'm going to sink into the couch, but I'm like, no, just rest in the love. That's like the final step. Because even when we say that thought, say, I have nobody in my life, it's a thought, right? And then we want to shift from like this endless ruminating mind to like, oh, what am I feeling in this? And then once we tap into the feeling, I feel like then we can, as you might say, sink into the love stuff and sort of encompass that with just compassion and kindness and understanding. Like, yeah, life is hard. We are more disconnected than ever before. And we do have to make a little bit more effort to connect with others beyond the screens that we tend to use.
That's a big reason why I went back to teaching in person. And trust me, it's not for the money. I went back to the local, I teach at the local YMCA because I knew, I said to myself, you know, I'm a little too isolated and winter's coming. And I thought I better get my gym membership going again. And then I thought, you know, maybe I'll teach a class and kind of get back into the swing of things. So yeah, sometimes you have to have enough sense to say, am I too isolated right now? You know, am I really limiting my ability to become more resilient and feel, whether it's it doesn't have to be lengthy conversations with people, even just feeling the presence of people around you, whether they're quiet in a yoga class or in a restaurant. Because we got DoorDash has been the thing now, you know, people just order. They'd rather spend 10 more bucks than get in the car, right? And drive and talk to the person who's waiting on them. But then when you do, you realize, wow, it does connect me in a way. I get to know people. There's meaning. Love has meaning. And you do feel the sense of warmth or openness or compassion and resilience. So you have to listen to yourself. And I kind of had to recognize, boy, I really am. And how I recognize that, Zach, is I did, when I did go out, because I've also been teaching psychology online, I thought, oh my God, this feels weird. Like I had to adjust. And it was a little overstimulating, quite frankly. And so our systems, we're reacclimating again. And so I had to recognize, wow, that was like really that what used to be not so hard for me felt a little bit more challenging. Okay, good to know. Maybe I ought to get out a little bit more and see what happens. And then you get, so in my latest book, Energy in Action, I talk about the spiritual laws of the universe and how they're a guidance system, I believe, for a feeling. I know a lot of people focus on the manifesting aspect of the spiritual laws, like the spiritual law of attraction. I see them as laws that are there that teach us all about energy and all about feeling. And so when I think about the spiritual law of compensation, yeah, I'm teaching at the local YMCA. Believe me, it's not for the $20 a class. That's not what gets me out the door now. What gets me out is I physically move there. I'm talking to people. People are telling me, like you with your classes, wow, that really made a difference in my life. And it's filling my cup in another way. So it's sometimes you're going to be compensated with love, right? That you are. Someone's going to be kind to you. They're going to smile at you. They're going to invite you. They're going to ask you about how you are. That's love. That's compensation. Take it in. That's the spiritual law of compensation. Take in the energy. You will be compensated. And then what you put out comes back in. So if you're putting out this fearful, scared, lonely energy, that's just constant withdrawals of energy.
Yeah, I really appreciate almost like the forcing function of, you know, like let's say you have a monthly gym membership and you're like, yeah, I'm paying for it. I might as well go. Love is so powerful in how it heals us and how important social connection is to just our wellness and belonging. And they even show that, like, you know, with people, say, recovering from a cancer treatment, if you put one set of people who meet twice a month and just talk, and another group of people who are just on their own, like the people that have a weekly, bi-weekly meeting end up recovering faster from their treatment. And that's because love does heal us. And it is regulating for our nervous system to have that sense of connection and belonging. And yeah, maybe you're at home and you're like, yeah, but the couch is so comfortable and I got my bag of chips right here. I don't want to go out. But then when you do kind of drag yourself, so to speak, to the group, to the class, to whatever it is that you're going to, you're like, oh, it is nice to be with people, to chat with people, and to experience that reciprocity of love, that when we give love away, it does come back to us.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few studies like that myself, where that I was just in the store a little while ago, and I was talking with someone who has Parkinson's. They have a caretaker for someone with Parkinson's. And they said, it's just those support groups, you know, those support groups are making all the difference in the world for both of them. You know, just getting together with people who are going through the same thing and having those conversations. Yeah, I would definitely say that's love. Love is anchoring. It's grounding. It's consistent.
So earlier on, you talked about the importance of processing our emotions fully. And whenever I hear this word emotion, I always think about this idea, it's all energy in motion and it can get stuck in our bodies and we need to allow it to flow through us, which I feel like ties into this also idea of energy in action and how we can almost use emotions for positive action in the world. And I'd love to hear, yeah, your perspective on this idea of how do we go about processing our emotions fully and letting them be almost just like companions.
Well, that's what I write about most. And it's not just writing about it. I provide the practices in Energy in Action. I've written 52 practices in there in terms of emotional processing practices. And they're just less than 10 minutes each. And they're in the acronym of CLEANSE. That's the acronym I use to help you remember the steps, basically. It starts at the C and it ends at the E. But unlike a physical cleanse where you might drink some, you know, concoction, we're cleansing all those reactions that we have. And then where Energy in Action is special, that book, is I combine it with the spiritual laws of the universe. So people can see where they're out of alignment. And those laws are somewhat of a roadmap, a system that we can tune into to kind of see when we're a little off, right? And so as you get to know those spiritual laws, and I write about 13 of them, it is about moving your energy. So emotions, as you were saying, I define it, a lot of people define as energy in action, right? So movement, you know, that the emotion means to move in Latin. And when we are so in our heads or so isolated and we have these habits of numbing ourselves, whether the habit is saying the same damn thing to yourself all the time, or it's turning to some outside substance, whatever it is, if it's interfering with your sense of giving yourself to fully feel, which means experience your emotions as is, without needing to control them or manage them or micromanage them along the way. So the laws will really help you with that. What I do is I teach people. So like, let's say there's one law, there's the spiritual law of oneness, and that's where it says everything is one, really educate you about what is that law about and what kinds of reactions come up to let us know we're out of alignment with that law. So one reaction would be, I'm all alone. Okay. Like we were just saying, I don't have anybody, or I'm unsupported, or nobody loves me, all that stuff. Okay. Well, that's very interesting because you're saying all of that. But then we have this beautiful spiritual law, which is like yoga, thought based on thousands and thousands, the Hindu texts, years old, that tells us we're one. So there's a mismatch there. So what do we do? Well, if you process your emotions, you can become more in alignment with these laws and who you truly are and begin to experience things more often than not from a state of oneness. It takes practice. It's not a one and done. And we have things we have to work through, and they're going to come up, and then you just work through them, but you get better at it and then you can become more resilient. And before you know it, it becomes the foundation of what you function off of. That's kind of like this love platform, and it's like home kind of thing.
I love that. Just coming home. I've been thinking about that a lot too myself, that like the only true home we have is the one in the heart. And we can always feel at home if we're able to just be with our breath, with mindfulness and concentration and openness. And as you mentioned, being able to fully feel and experience our emotions without needing to manage them and micromanage, as you said. I love that. And you kind of tied into it a little bit, because I was curious, because so many people are familiar with this idea of law of attraction. And here you have 13 spiritual laws of the universe. And I was wondering, yeah, where these spiritual laws came from?
Yeah, so they came from the Hindu, like I said, the Vedas, the Hindu text. They don't have a name on them. I mean, they were written in a book called the Kabbalion, the Upanishads, and they didn't want anyone to sort of claim as kind of like the creator or the author of the law. And the reason being the laws is because of ego. Because as soon as that happens, ego comes in. It's kind of brilliant. So you can find the original text through the books like the Kabbalion or the Upanishads. So that's what these laws, and they're thousands and thousands of years old. The other piece that's thousands of years old that I incorporate, that I do a lot of, I don't know about you, Zach, but I find that when I teach yoga or when I meditate, I get a lot of intuitive connect pretty strongly. I was really guided to incorporate into Energy in Action something called the rays of light, which are kind of like an intelligent energy. And these rays of light are also thousands and thousands of years old. So you have the spiritual laws of the universe, and you have these beautiful rays of light. And what I did was I put them together into one practice with the cleanse, which is the emotional processing system. And so it's kind of like you've got these two pillars of support. You've got the laws as a guidance system. Okay, what am I doing here? Where, like a roadmap, where am I going? Mm-hmm. All right. And it's vibration. And then you have these beautiful rays of light. And when you couple them with together like that, then you can really experience things on a higher consciousness level, if you will, because love is a higher consciousness frequency. I mean, you can drop in and out of it. Does love go away? No, you go away. Your consciousness goes down. Love doesn't go anywhere.
I love that. Love doesn't go away. You might go away.
Yeah.
I love that so much because I do sometimes feel like a lot of like spiritual teachings, they're all kind of a big ruse. Like you're kind of tricking somebody to like do something so that they discover something else. So you're like, okay, just don't worry about the mumbo jumbo. Just listen to your breath. And they're like, oh, okay, I can do that. And then what does the breath do? Well, it brings you into your body. And that's when you start to notice your heart. That's when you start to notice, whoa, these emotions coming into your body. That's when you also start to get in touch with a different sort of wisdom than one you may have been taught in school, that in order to become wise, we have to stuff as many books from the external world into our own head versus discover a source inside of us of wisdom. And we have this word intuition, which I feel like points to that deeper level of knowing and deeper state of knowing. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about what intuition means to you. Do you feel like people aren't in touch with this level of intuition? Does it arise in the body for you, or is it someplace else?
Well, definitely. I think I didn't realize it when I was teaching yoga, and I'd have people come to my classes. And at one point, I would have yoga teachers come to my classes. And I remember one of them pulled me aside one day and they said, how do you prepare for class? Like, how do you come up with all that and say what you say? And I was like, I don't do any preparation. And she was like, you don't think about like a theme or
never write it down.
Yeah, or write it down. I mean, of course, when I first started, yeah, I'd have my little note cards and try to, but that was a really pivotal moment for me. Maybe she thought I was helping her, but I think she helped me recognize something in myself that you can channel in the body when you move like that. So intuition, I was just feeling the energy. Here's how I operate. I'm not sure how other people work, but I didn't have that awareness about myself. I needed her to bring that to my attention. Then it was brought to my attention a few other ways. People would ask the same thing. How did you, right? And maybe folks listening, you've had that happen in some way. Like people are like, wait, how? Huh? Like, it's like you kind of, you probably get that too, Zach, where people are like, are you reading my mind? Right? How do you do that? Right. And that, so yeah, can it absolutely come through when you're quiet and in your body and you're breathing? So what happens with me is the way that I teach emotional processing is a lot with breath, Zach, in the system cleanse. There is a lot of breath. I can't even function as a coach, as a teacher, if people aren't breathing. Like if I've got people in front of me and they're out to lunch, like they're just going through the motions, which happens in this day and age, and they're kind of in their own heads, but yet they're moving their body. Cause you can do that. You can move your body and not even be present. you know, we're skilled enough.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
We can go through the motions and then maybe be present for like the last 5 minutes of class or something, right? And that takes time. And so for me as a teacher, what I've learned is I've got to get them breathing, because as soon as they're breathing, intuitively, I know what's happening in that room. It's almost like their breath for me is it's information. So when you talk about intuition, it's how I get my information. It's from breath. Teaching breath, getting them to breathe. I'm breathing, at least the majority of people to breathe. Soon as that breath comes in, truth comes in. Now you know what you're dealing with. And now you know what the needs are. You know what the moves are that people need to, how, what postures would benefit from them. It just, everything, that it's like a story that just kicks in, or a movie where you're watching it. You're like, what the hell is going on? I don't know who's what, who. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I know what's going on. And you're into the movie. That's what it's like for me when people start breathing. And so that's how I've sort of developed my intuition. Unknowingly, did not know that was happening. And now I do. So now that I'm aware, and everybody's going to be different with intuition, the way you pick it up. And now that I'm aware, I use it to my advantage. And I get right to it. I don't wait too long before I'm really making sure that we've got some breathing happening in the room, because that's going to be the best way that I can support people and myself.
I always love that metaphor. Yeah, people get so caught up in the movie, not realizing it's just a movie. They need to turn around, check out the light. And earlier when you did mention love is the only emotion, everything else is a reaction, I was thinking it's such a lovely take on this basic idea that love is the only thing that is real and everything else is illusion. And we do have to step out of that to discover the realness that love is. So I've been loving this conversation. There's so much more we could talk about. You have this wealth of work, but unfortunately, we are running low on time. So I do have to finish by asking you the question I ask all of my guests, which is, what do you wish everyone knew about love?
That you can access it through emotional processing. That's very accessible that way.
Half of our listeners just went, oh no.
I didn't say, you know, it's not going to be given to you on a silver platter. I'm sorry. I had to go through it too. I'm right there with you. I mean, and I've been married for, how long have I been married? 25 years. Yeah, because I just had a big one. So I've been married for 25 years. And that's, you know, but it probably half my marriage, I didn't even know what the hell love was. So it took me a bit. But once I figured it out, once I connected to it, everything changed. So whether you're with someone or not, just because somebody's with someone doesn't really mean that they know love. So once I started processing my emotions and letting those barriers down, and love's contagious, folks. That's the other thing. Fear's contagious, but love is too.
No, it's so important that we can access love through emotional processing.
Yeah.
Through working through the other stuff, we can sink into the love stuff.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Sherrianna Boyle, for coming on to the show. Your newest book is Energy in Action, The Power of Emotions and Intuition to Cultivate Peace and Freedom. For our listeners who want to learn more about you, how can they find you?
It's my name. So it's sherriannaboyle.com.
Cool.
And I do emotional processing every Tuesday night, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, online for 30 minutes. So people come on and I just guide you right through how to do it. So if you need help, there's a whole wonderful group of people there that, yeah, and you don't need your camera on either. You can be in your pajamas. I don't care. But as long as you process your emotions, that's what matters.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wealth of wisdom. And I encourage all of our listeners to check out your lovely body of work. Not 8, 10 books. Sorry about that. The beginning. Lose count after a while. And the latest one being Energy in Action. Thanks again, Sherrianna.
Thank you.
What an incredible interview. Thank you so much, listeners, for listening to the show. We hope you remember many of the valuable lessons that Sherrianna shared with us today, including that love is a timeless, non-reactive state. Love puts us in a state of presence. Love is the only emotion. Everything else is a reaction. Love is our greatest form of protection, guidance, and wisdom, and also a tool for transformation, growth, and strength. If we don't think or feel this way, we have to look at our limiting beliefs that are getting in the way. In this age of loneliness, we have to be intentional about cultivating social connection.
And don't forget the spiritual law of compensation. What you put out into the world comes back in. Thanks again for listening. I hope you know that you are perfect just as you are, that you are lovable, loving, and loved.
Thanks again for listening to the Learn to Love podcast. To learn more about the show and your host, head over to ZachBeach.com or TheHeartCenter.com. You can also follow Zach on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.